שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר זוהר.
Hello, we are reading in Zohar La'am, the introduction to the book of Zohar. We are in the part called Heaven and Earth, item 157. You can send questions to kab.tv. Pertinent questions to lesson will be asked during the lesson. Once again, we're on page 10, the introduction to the book of Zohar in Heaven and Earth, on item 157.
Well, the book of Zohar is entirely intended to send us the light that reforms. The light is sent, it arrives, we draw it, we exist within the light, but when we draw it, when we invoke its influence on us, upon the friends, on everybody, such that I must think about being as close as possible to the light. When am I the closest to the light? When I perform a restriction on my will to receive, and I want to enter, to incorporate with the friends together, to lose myself there, to be smaller than everyone, in order to incorporate there, to be greater than everyone, to give them an example there, and to be equal with everyone, to come to one desire. This singular desire must connect between us in order to give here a place for the Creator to clothe within us, and by that to bring Him contentment. And all of that is only by the influence of the light that reforms, which we expect will bring us to this high position with the Creator. Together, everyone, all of us will think about this state. Let's go.
Amud 321, Piska 157. Ve'elu shnei ha'memunim,
Item 157. Those two appointees swim in the great sea, depart from there, and go to Na'ama at night, along with demons who strayed after her, the first sons of the gods, who contemplate approaching her. She leaps over 60,000 parsas and inverts into several shapes of people, so people will be led astray after her. Commentary. Once they receive power from Aza and Azael, they could mate with Na'ama as well, after whom the first angels, Aza and Azael, went astray as well. Out of that zivug, Na'ama bore all the evil spirits and demons in the world. It was said that the first sons of the gods were led astray after her, which are Aza and Azael, who are called sons of the gods as written in Genesis. We should understand the matter since they were angels of above, so how did they come into erring in whoring with Na'ama? Also, why did Na'ama bear only demons and spirits because of it, and not people? The upper world, Abba Ve'ima, was created with a Yod, Tchura, and there is nothing of Prina Dalet in them whatsoever. But Zon, the lower world, were created with a Hey, which consists also of Prina Dalet. Abba Ve'ima Bina, desiring light of Chasadim. For so did Bina emerge initially in the four Prinot de Or Yashar. However, Zon need light of Chochmah, because so was Zeranpin of Or Yashar emanated in the illumination of Chochmah in these Chasadim. The angels who were at the Siyum of the Yod, like them, came out of Zivug of Abba Ve'ima and desire only after Chasadim and not after Chochmah like them. The souls of people came out from the lower world, Zon, and the souls are at the Siyum of the Hay, on which there was the Tzimtzum of not receiving Chochmah because Bchina Dalet is included in her. Also, they need and crave Chochmah, like Zon, as they are extended from them. When Adam HaRishon was born from Zon, Zon were clothing the upper world, Abba ve'ima, and ended in the Yod. But the hay was hidden in their acholaim, in their posterior. Hence, the merit of Adam HaRishon was very great, because being in Zon, in the upper world, and ending in the Yod, his degree was as the angels above who are born from Abba ve'ima.
This is according to the law that each lower, as much as it rises to the upper, it rises up higher than everyone. But when he falls lower than everyone, because the will to receive, the greater the will to receive is, if it rises, then it becomes higher than the others. Therefore, that's why he's talking about Zon this way here. That although they're from... Well, go ahead.
And with that, it would receiving the upper Chochmah, since he was from Zon. And the name Elohim was on him, Chochmah, in the wholeness of the upper world. Since there is no Tzimtzum and Prina Dalet in Yud, he bore Cain and Abel out of that Prina. Cain from Ele and Abel from Mi. Yet in both the bottom hay was not revealed, but only the Yod, since there was upper Chochmah in them. Also, the primary carrier of the Chochmah is Ele, Zat of Binah, Cain's soul. Still, Cain was envious of the superior twin that was hidden in me, since the bottom hay is concealed in this Yod. And Cain wished to mate with her, that is, he wished to extend his Chochmah into Prina Dalet that was hidden in Abel's soul. By that, he killed Abel. Because once the bottom hay was disclosed, the tzimtzum on her became disclosed as well, that she was forbidden to receive from the upper light. Hence, the name Elohim departed from both of them.
Don't forget about being together, and together we're expecting the influence of the upper light, the surrounding light, or Megif.
But me, which is Gar, departed upward, and this is considered that he killed Abel. Cain's Ele, Zat, fell into the Klipot, which is Arka. And although he fell to the Klipot, there still remained some sparks of Chochmah in the Kelim, especially in his daughters, who were not so blemished. They have even more sparks from Bina. Naama, of Cain's daughters, was more beautiful than all of Adam's daughters. This is so because this sin was primarily in Cain's males and not in the females, who are the ground of the world. Hence, after the Creator dropped Aza and Azael into this world, which was created with a hay, and they saw Naama, a great new craving awakened in them, one that has never existed before, the craving for light of Chochmah. At their root, they desire only chasadim, but seeing Naama bore in them this new craving to extend Chochmah.
When he's talking about this world, of course he's not talking about this world, but it's a spiritual definition that is called this world, the will to receive, for the sake of self-reception.
And since they do not have the restricted bottom hay in their own structure, and the bottom hay was not revealed in the structure of Naama herself, since she extends from Cain's Ele, They erred in her that she was fit for reception of Chochmah and mated with her. Their mistake was twofold. One, even though they do not have the bottom hay in their own structure, the place still causes. And since they are in the world, the bottom hay controlled them, and they were forbidden to extend the light of Chochmah. Two, they're thinking that there was no bottom hay in the construction of Naama as well, since in truth the bottom hay was concealed within her. Thus, out of their zivug, all the harm-doing demons and spirits came out of their zivug. Now you will understand what we learn, that the demons are half as ministering angels and half as people. On the part of their father, Azza and Azael are as angels, and on the part of their mother, Naama, they are as people. However, she could not bear people because there was no seed of people in her, but one from angels. Harm-doing ones, since they were born from harlotry, of the greatest separation in this world. Hence, they take their filth with them to harm wherever they are.
I don't know what to add here. Do you want to add anything? Do you want to ask us something? No. Great. What polka?
About the intention. Before the lesson, we did a workshop, and the friend said that we need to demand thought for the friends, a pure thought for the friends. It's seemingly an active action on one hand. On the other hand, you said that we need to flow in the general flow.
What do you mean, a common flow?
Kind of like have the Zohar wash us after our work day and kind of not resist.
Not resisting. Yeah, I talked about us reading the Zohar, not us not understanding what's written. We're talking about very high degrees. We're talking about Gar De'atzilut and the upper Abavim, where the corrections take place with respect to Zohar and the Neshamot. These are very elated things that we don't understand, neither in our intellect nor in our feeling. It's not that we're small in our intellect and feeling, it's that we're opposite. That's the problem. We're opposite to what it would take to understand the Zohar. We're unable. We're just entirely not in that intellect or feeling, neither in degrees nor in perception. Therefore, we can only hope for the light that reforms, for it to change our perception. It would place into us a new program, a new approach, and then, accordingly, we will be able to understand what the Zohar is saying, even. Because otherwise, I can read this for another 1,000 years and just become more and more confused. If I start to enter the Zohar and start to write down where Azza and Azael and Abavim are, Adam, Chava, all of these different degrees that we're talking about. This is forbidden, essentially. That's not why the Torah was given. Meaning it was given for that, but to people that are in attainment. Because if I'm in the spiritual world, then I can already aspire, understand, know, research everything that's written, because I'm already in that world. And then I can be small, but nevertheless aspire to be greater. But now, before us, we have a completely different problem. How do we turn our vessels of reception into vessels of bestowal? So we'd be able to understand the Zohar. If we want to advance, then we'd advance. Then it would be at least in the same world, just like those that write. And then it would be easier for us to ask and to demand and to aspire and to understand. then it would be in the same area. So if I understand less, then maybe I'll understand more, and so on. At least I'll be in that same perception, that same understanding. I'll pertain to that same approach. That's what's important. And therefore, right now, all of our yearning and tendency, demand and anticipation must be that the upper light would change our perception, that we would begin to incorporate in these spiritual concepts of bestowal and feel within ourselves what it means to be in the spiritual world. What does it mean to be, to use spiritual values? And then we can demand connection with the text itself. Even though now we have absolutely no ability to be connected to it, to this text, but rather for it to perform this change upon us. Okay? So we need to be really as realistic as possible, and to ask for what we're able to do now, meaning the transition from the current world to the spiritual world in our perception, in our feeling, just in a little bit. And then there we'd be able to advance. For now, thinking about the spiritual world, we have no approach, but rather to think and to expect the passage from our world to the spiritual world.
It works out from what you said, that there's no point in asking questions now. It's like you're stopping and asking if we have questions. What's the point?
I don't know. Maybe you want to ask something. What do you have to ask? What's happening with Aza and Azael, with Naama, and so on? Their names are also, we need to understand the meaning of the names. Because like Yaakov, it's the Sheikev that circumvented Av and Avraham and so on. The name, except, besides the fact that it's talking about a simple calculation, it's also numerology and forms, gematria, and so on. Every name is part of a subsystem. So I don't think what the best thing is to come in the evening confused, tired, disconnected from everything, disillusioned, and gradually by the Zohar to begin waking up. That would be great. And then to understand there's a special force here that awakens you and fulfills you and pulls you and is intended to change you, and you are with one foot in your despair and your exhaustion and disconnection on one hand, and on the other hand you still feel that there's a force that's sent to pull you forward, and you want to hold on to it. These discernments between one and the other are the most important thing. And like Baal Salam says, we need to give an effort, 10, 20, even up to 30 years, until the surrounding light, the Or Makif, does its job.
We're continuing on page 11, on the paragraph that starts with, "It was said." It was said that they go at night to Naama, and go to mother of the demons, after whom the first sons of the gods were led astray. Since once they received strength from those angels who were the first to whore with Naama, they also could go and whore with her like them. It was said that they walk at night, this is so because the power of Chochmah of the Klipot governs only in the dark, at night, when the dinim reign. It is also because of their root, Aza and Azael, who were tied in the mountains of darkness. They contemplate approaching her, and she leaps 60,000 parsas. This is so because once they hoard with her, she leaps 60,000 parsas, which means that she smelled of such stench that she wished to cancel the parsa over Vak of Arichanpin, whose every sfira is considered 10,000. His Vak is 60,000 parsas. Although he does not say that they approached her, only that they contemplated approaching her. Also, he does not say that she roamed 60,000 parsas, only that she leaped 60,000 parsas. This is so because she only leaped, but she immediately fell back down and did not touch them. Since no act applies to those high klipot, their only flaw is in their thought and will. But afterwards,
for the will to receive.
But afterwards, she already has enough strength for people to be led astray after her. Although she does not cause an actual deed on the part of a person, but only a thought and a will such as hers. Here the Creator punishes for the thought as much as for an act. As it is written, to capture the house of Israel and in their hearts.
Yep.
Does it make a difference if you're reading or just hearing?
It's preferable to look at the letters, even if you can't read. Let's say you came from China, and you have never seen Hebrew letters. In English, you already know a little bit. Chinese, you know. Hebrew, never. But look at the letters. Because it's a code. You know, it's not a usual, typical language. You need to relate to it that all these signs, all these conditions that we're trying to observe is all connection to the light that reforms as the root and the branch. Therefore, it's worthwhile to open the book and to look. I'm not saying that you can't pull the light or extend the light. Even if you don't hear, even if you're sitting here and you have no sense of hearing and no sight, but you want to be between us, among us, if you're among us and you want to come to spirituality, you will go to spirituality. But we're talking about how much a person is able to invest himself in connecting to spirituality for him to activate himself, engage himself. Let's continue.
Item 158. Those two appointees depart and roam throughout the world, then return to their place. They awaken the sons of Cain's sons with the spirit of evil inclinations to make offspring. They roam throughout the world to harm people because they cause people to be defiled by nocturnal emission. This is so because once they make the people of this world sin, they return to their permanent place, which is Arka, where they evoke the sons of Cain, sons to make offspring into their filth. He tells us that besides making the sons of Cain sin in Arka, they also roam our land, universe, making the dwellers of this land sin. 159.
Specifically in this way does the klipa help for correction, that it disseminates all the klipot, all the intentions and thoughts and actions that are evil. And they, by the klipa, trying to be in every place and to corrupt everything everywhere, in that specifically, does the klipa cause, in all the opportunities and all the places, room for correction? Therefore, it's as if these forces, they corrupt, but really they bring to correction. They cause correction. We see this in our world. Up until the lie doesn't spread throughout the world and doesn't come to revelation, and then it's revealed to everyone. And how is it revealed to everyone? Because everybody uses it and respects the lie and use it and buy it. Then by that, afterwards, they reveal that nothing, they have nothing in their hands. And then they cast it aside and advance forward toward the truth. And there's no choice. It's only in this way. That's why we always, people yell about us and they write about us, and we always have, and they always want to slander us, to bring us, to damage us. This is all for correction. This is all for correction. There's nothing in this that can, that can really damage us. At the end of the day, it will bring correction. We need to relate to this also, just like in this world. Even if we can go above it, we still need to relate it as typically in this world, you know, to all sorts of events. But to understand that this is according to a process and systems that the Creator determined. But really, in the world of lies, there can't be advancement except by lies. And the more that these klipot bring out the lie, they push everyone to engage in the lie. They, by themselves, bring themselves death. We see this everywhere. The best lie, that it won't protrude. It won't stand out. Let's say, I don't know, I have a factory and I'm making something. Let's say I manufacture pencils. They're not so great, but you know. But if I don't advertise myself especially, but I sell here and there a little bit, then it's totally fine. But if I start advertising this strongly and marketing it, and everybody will discover that it's bad, then they'll stop buying it. And I'll go bankrupt. Therefore, the klipot, when they advertise all of these forms of reception for the sake of reception, they bring swift correction. This is their role. Let's move on.
159. The heavens that govern there are not as our heavens, and the land does not bear through seed and harvesting such as ours. Nor do the seeds grow once more, but only every several years and times. They are the ones of whom it was said, "The gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish." From the upper land, called universe, they will not govern it, nor roam it, nor cause people to be defiled by nocturnal emission. Hence, they will perish from the earth and from under these heavens, who were made by the name Ele. Commentary. Our heavens receive from Zeranpin, which is the Mochin of begetting. Hence, our land, which receives in his Nukva, receives seed and harvesting. But the heavens of Arka have no Mochin of begetting due to the domination of the Klipot there. Hence, the land does not bear by them seed and harvesting, such as ours. As there is no power in the land to receive seed and to put forth crop and harvest, as it is done in our land. Also, the seeds grow only once every several years and times, since the seed that is planted there grows only once every several years and times. It was said that those two appointees, Afriron and Kastimon, are the gods who have not made the heaven and the earth, meaning they could not mend the heaven and the Arka to make them fit for producing fruit. Hence, they have no permission to roam and to make people in our land, universe, sin. While they are here, they damage our land as well, to become like their heavens and earth. They will be lost from the upper land called universe, meaning they will be lost from our land, universe, so they will not control it and roam in it, causing people to be defiled by nocturnal emission. This is so because through their wandering in our universe, they cause people the sin of nocturnal emission, which is the curse that lies over Arka because of their governance there. Under our heavens, who were made by the name Ele, this is so because our heavens receive from the corrected Zon, which are made in the name Ele, as it is written, "In the beginning God created," where Mi is associated with Ele. Hence, our land too is corrected in the upper Kedusha, since by that does the world exist. For this reason, those two appointees have no permission to roam here. 160. This verse is a translation so that the upper angels do not think that it is said about them and will not be hostile towards us. Hence, the word Ele is a holy word that is not replaced in the translation, since the whole verse is written in translation except for the word Ele. As it is written, shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens, these Ele heavens. This word cannot be translated because the connection of Ele in Mi extends upper Mochin of Chochmah. And if the letters Ele are blemished, like Cain, after all, they fall into the Klipot, and even the sanctity of the translation does not remain in them. Thus, there cannot be a translation of them, which is Vak of Kedusha.
Because these are the Kelim de Chochmah, Kelim of reception, and therefore they can't become corrupted. Because otherwise, it's impossible to restore them. All right, so the main thing, again, I repeat, is to keep ourselves always in this hope. What do I want from the study? In what way do I raise man? How do I sit with all the friends, like the students of Rabbi Shimon? How do I expect that the light, the reform, will come? How do I connect to this light as one man with one heart? How does the Creator begin to be revealed in us in all sorts of forms, that this is the forms of connections between us, they will be called the Creator, the Upper Force, Elohim. And then, the connection between us, this will to receive of ours, will receive all sorts of names. We'll take on the names Karka, Earth, Aretz, Land, Ratzon, Desire, and the Creator that will be clothed in it as well, will have his own names. And in this way, we shall come to 10 Sfirot, to the 10 names of the above. Now, all the time, that's what we have to do to depict that we're to ourselves that we're in a system and we want it to be revealed in us. Okay? What?
Zohar from Chicago is asking, continuing the explanation you gave earlier to Aaron to look at the text, even if he doesn't understand it, he's asking, for someone who, let's say, understands English, it's better to follow the text in English.
Yes and no. Yes and no. I'm not saying that it's better following the text or not. I wanted to emphasize here that the light that reforms acts according to a deficiency and not according to an understanding. And that's why it's not the wise who studies. I can know what's written here, just like we study Pticha, let's say. That in the Pticha, if I ask you about Galgal Da'Absag, all the internal discernments, I think that everybody can more or less say, explain, draw. But all of this we need if we're talking about the general system. After all, to be in some connection with it, that's why we study it. But essentially, to draw the light that reforms, I don't need to know anything. Nothing. I just need to want. That's it. Yes.
Ree from Croatia is saying, throughout the reading we need to keep the intentions. So he says, what's the purpose of the explanations of Rav between the passages that we're reading?
Explanations? What explanations do I give? I'm just reminding you about intention. I have no ability or intention to explain anything during the Zohar. Or if I begin to start explaining to you about Abba Ve'ima's Zohar, then it's Az, and Azayel, it's two klipot, right and left. How's that going to help? You're going to forget about the intention. Therefore, I don't want to add anything here, but every time, from a different angle, to remind you about our anticipation.
Iran from Japan is saying only corporeal and beastly requests are filling me throughout the day today when we're reading the Zohar. He asks, should he close the book? Is it damage to the group?
What?
Should he maybe close the book?
Close it? And what?
He says that he's having only beastly thoughts right now that are filling him throughout the lesson, the reading.
The Zohar is giving him these kinds of thoughts. Where is there something that could cause it?
That's what he's experiencing. That's what's coming into his head.
Yeah. Okay, so then what? What does he expect to happen?
He simply doesn't want to cause damage to the group. He wants to ask...
And he's in Japan. In Japan right now, it's probably... It's pretty late at night, right? Even more. What is it, 6? 6 and 4? What is it, 3 in the morning? It's 9 hours, so it's 2 a.m. So what to do? He's tired. Soon the lesson will be over, he'll go to sleep. All the respect that he's with us. Way to go. But still, it's worth making the effort. We study, and really, every time, even though a person knows, it's just sometimes it doesn't work out. We can always say, yes, I need to sit and listen, sit and study and think and read. Maybe something else to do, but I'm just going to walk around and do nothing. This is how our evil inclination teaches us our nature, its own nature, that it reigns over us, it governs us. But if we still try in any which way to confuse the evil inclination, to approach the study, approach the book, to sit during the time that we want very much to go to sleep. No, but I can't. I can't see anything, but I'm still trying a little bit. Suddenly it becomes clear. It's hard to come to this moment. It's very difficult to push on yourself. It's very difficult to focus. But when it happens, we truly see that a new light comes. So what can you do? We try more and more and more. And all of this is written. Let's continue. Yes, Chaim.
We also see the friends from Australia, Australasia. They're sitting with us. It's 2 o'clock at night. We're seeing them on the screens. Also from Japan and from Australia. It's a very beautiful presence. It's 2 o'clock at night.
Yes, way to go, guys. They're here with us together. The others, not so much. Novosibirsk, look. Moscow, I'm not talking about. But specifically all these guys. But there, it's the middle of the night. Way to go. You're with us and we're happy. Among all the sages of the world, there are none like you.
Item 161. Rabbi Elazar said, it is written, who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For it is your due. What kind of praise is that? Rabbi Shimon told him, Elazar, my son, this verse was said in several places. But it is certainly not so as its literal meaning. As it is written, for among all the sages of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. This would enable the wicked to speak, meaning those who think that the Creator does not know their thoughts and contemplations. This is the reason why their method must be made known. Once a philosopher from the nations of the world came to me. He told me, you say that your God rules over the whole of the heavens, and all the armies and the camps do not attain or know his whereabouts. This verse does not give him much respect. For it is written, for among all the sages of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. Why this comparison to people who have no persistence? It is as it is written, they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge with the Most High? Behold, these wicked of those that are always at ease have obtained riches. As he brings before the world words of the philosopher. That philosopher was among the greatest of the sages of the nation. He came to Rabbi Shimon to despise Israel's wisdom. And our work is complete faith, which is in great wholeness, since the thought has no attainment in it whatsoever. And this sage was among those philosophers who say that the heart of the work of God is to attain him, for in their view they attain him. Thus he came to mock us.
That means that first they think they can attain it in wisdom, as much as they study. And the wisdom of Kabbalah says, no, that's incorrect. You can't attain the Creator in where we are, in our intellect and feeling. But we must cause the creation of new kilim, in which the Creator will be revealed. So there's an approach that's completely different, that doesn't work out at all in what we feel in this world, not in philosophy, not in science, nothing. Rather, a new approach. Person must receive new intellect, a new feeling, and then in these two, he'll be able to attain divinity, and not in what he has now.
And he said, rules over the whole of the heaven, which means that he is above any human mind, and he is the ruler in this sublimity. And he commanded you to work before him in faith and in wholeness, and to not doubt him at all.
It's like in the simplest way, in a way that you don't use a simple person. How can you? But a person in this world has intellect and feeling. He's the smartest of all the animals. He's the most special of all, according to his feeling, according to his understanding, according to everything. So when we come to the wisdom of Kabbalah, why don't we use all of our kilim? It's very interesting. So why do I need this first, you know, this animal in this world? Well, just take any animal and force it. Do I need all of my intellect and feeling that I develop over the course of millennia? I need to reduce this down and not use it for the sake of spiritual attainment. It doesn't make sense. This is called the wisdom of Kabbalah. There are sages there. They reveal things. And you're telling me without intellect and feeling? And with intellect and with new intellect and feeling that I need to receive by the light that reforms, then why did I acquire all my human intellect and feeling that I can't use at all for the in the wisdom of Kabbalah for the attainment of spirituality or divinity? Let's say, really, you can't attain divinity with earthly intellect and feeling. I see there are no sages, there are no smart people, Einstein, nothing. They can't attain spirituality. So why did we develop it so much, this feeling and intellect, over the history of humanity? For nothing? That's what's unclear. And why in the wisdom of Kabbalah, after we developed intellect and feeling, then we need to cast them down and go above them and buy new intellect and feeling? We built for ourselves this big obstacle, as if this hurdle, a step that now we have to get over, and then we come to spirituality. Human emotion and intellect that we acquired, now it's before us, now I can't even get rid of them. So maybe to the wisdom of Kabbalah, the foolish should approach that have no intellect or feeling, and then it'll be much easier for them to move forward, because they have nothing to give up. There's a lot of issues here. This philosopher, he speaks correctly. Yes.
Because all the armies and camps do not attain. Not only does the human mind not attain him, but even the armies and the high angels will not attain him whatsoever, or know his whereabouts. They do not even attain his place, as it is written, "Blessed be the glory of God from his place," for they do not know his whereabouts. And he came to ask about that this verse does not give him much respect, for it is written, "For among all the sages of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you." If the prophecy comes to praise the God of Israel, who is more important than the God that the sages of the nations attain, with their own human force and wisdom,
from the emotion and intellect of people,
it does not give him much respect. After all, this praise does not give him much respect, because what sort of weighing and comparison is it between the Creator and mortal beings? Thus, there is great contempt against your God here, assessing him compared to the mortal sages of the nations.
Meaning the sentence is one that doesn't make sense. If there's nobody like you, of course you're comparing him, what, to people? So he's a little bit more than them, a little less. The approach itself is unclear. How can we begin to compare the upper force to people that he's more than them? Okay? All right, so if you agree, are you talking? Do you want to ask about this specifically or in general? I think that you want to confuse us. About this, watch out. If it's not about this, I'm not going to let you ask.
So why is it not bad to try to understand with your intellect in general? Why is it not bad to do? Because when you're doing the illustrations and everything...
You are right. But let's say you come to me. Not you, okay? Suppose a person comes to me and he says, I want to be a musician. It's just that I checked myself, and I was told that I have no, how's it called? Tone deaf. I'm like a musical sense. I'm tone deaf. I have no musical sensibility. Okay, I have no musical hearing. They want me to sing, but I sing something just irrelevant. I have no feeling for it. I have no perception. I have no internal hearing, no inner ear. I can't do anything. Also, rhythm, just completely. I can't do it. They say to do that, and I do nothing. You understand? I have no approach to it, even. So if a person like this comes, and he wants to be accepted to study music, what do we do? Tell me what to do. I'm asking you.
I don't know.
You're saying that you, with your intellect right now, want to break into the spiritual world and attain the Creator.
I don't know what spirituality is.
You don't even know what it is. Great. Okay, and this guy at least knows. He hears something, some music. Okay, that means that we need to understand that what we attain in similarity of form. With the force, with this phenomena that we attain. We need to be in that same level, the same qualities. I can't see something outside of the spectrum that I see. Why? Because I'm built in this way. Also in hearing, not more than the frequencies, the wavelengths that we can see and hear and hearing. And this is everything. And now you come and you say, I want in my intellect to understand spirituality, to understand divinity. But you don't understand in your intellect how limited you are. It's not that you're limited, that your intellect is small. It's not that it's small. It's different. It's different completely. That's why you can't perceive him. You can't develop yourself in such a way that you will feel him as you are now. All right?
So, I do need to know some kind of terminology and things with my intellect that you're explaining, with graphs and...
Nothing. You don't have to know anything. Not terminology, not intellect, nothing. You need to receive from above. From above, a special desire, special force that will allow you to feel the Creator.
Okay, so when someone doesn't know anything that Galgal Tainenayim and all that...
Doesn't matter.
He doesn't have to learn at all what that says?
Nothing. He doesn't need anything. Okay, write that for yourself so it's in front of you once, because all the time you're asking the same thing. The wisdom of the Torah doesn't need any prerequisites, it just needs a desire. We just need a desire, to have a desire for the desire to be before us, okay? All right, yes.
Gadi from Australia is writing, now it's 4 o'clock in the morning here, and I am automatically waking up to the lesson. I have no problem reading the text, but it's like it doesn't penetrate my ears. And this is happening already for several months already.
Very good. Great. Very good. Specifically, I, from my experience, I also said, from experience, I'm telling you, the more a person is just blocked, it means that he's entering a higher degree. This stupefaction is with respect to the other, the previous intellect and emotion that are blocking him from discovering his new intellect and emotion and feeling. And therefore, sometimes, just a little bit of, we need to be in a stupefaction. It's difficult for you. You have no strength. You can look at one sentence and go over it 10 times and still not understand. And gradually, suddenly, but not suddenly, but after, could be after a couple of days, it begins to clarify. This is new birth. That is a new state, a new degree. Then you'll understand that it can't be any other way, because everything changes from within. In order for one person to change, for one millimeter, the whole system of all the souls, which includes everyone, has to change, just in order to move one person 1 millimeter forward. Forward meaning to give him new qualities that were not present before. Not just to grow something he already had, but in spirituality it's always new qualities. Because the whole system needs to change. It's an integral system. You can't have one small movement in some place without having the whole system move. And that's why when we feel a great heaviness, that's why we feel a great heaviness in us, because we just can't do anything. But afterwards, when it passes, you see how much it has to be this way. Specifically, it points to the truth. Okay, let's continue.
Item 162. The philosopher also said,
The philosopher also said,
when you say about the words, never has there been such a prophet as Moses in Israel. He has not risen in Israel, but he has risen in the nations of the world. I too say so. There are none like him among all the sages of the nations, but there are like him among the sages of Israel. Thus, a God whom there are like him among the sages of Israel is not a superior ruling God. Look in the Bible and you will find my words precise. Here Rabbi Shimon spoke in words of wisdom. It was said, look in the Bible and you will find my words precise. For he realized that he would easily answer his question, since in all the sages of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is no one who attains you. There is none like you, is as in, had I not known him, I would be him. And since the sages of the nations boast about attaining him, they are regarded as like him. This is why it is written that they lied and they are not like him. for they do not attain him, but rather mislead themselves. Therefore, the philosopher cleverly asked, accordingly, it means that there are none like him only among the sages of the nations, but there are like him among the sages of Israel, meaning those who attain him. Thus, a God of whom there are like him among the children of Israel is not a superior and ruling God. Accordingly, why do you say that the thought has no attainment in the God of Israel at all, and that he is the ruler over his servants by the power of faith and his sublimity? But it is written that there are like him among the sages of Israel, meaning there are sages of Israel who attain him. Thus the text contradicts you.
That's like a valid claim, right? If you attain him, then he's not so great. He's like you, because attainment is according to similarity.
163. I told him, indeed, you said correctly.
Because according to the intellect, he's right.
There are others like him in Israel. After all, who revives the dead? It is the Creator alone. Elijah and Elisha came and revived dead. Who brings down rains? It is only the Creator. Elijah came and halted them, then brought them down with his prayer. And who makes heaven and earth? It is the Creator alone. Abraham came, and the heavens and earth persisted in their existence thanks to him. Rabbi Shimon explained to him that, as you said, it must be true that there are others like him in Israel. And yet, this is not at all in contrast with our whole faith, for we do not attain him whatsoever. He governs the whole of the high heavens, and even the highest angels do not attain him or know his whereabouts. However, in relation to that, he has given us Torah and mitzvot, whereby the engagement in Torah and mitzvot lishma, Israel are rewarded with actually adhering unto him, and his divinity dresses in them until they perform the same deeds as the Creator. Reviving dead, bringing down rains, and sustaining heaven and earth. In that respect, they are completely like him. As it is written, by your actions we know you. However, they attain all that only by complete and whole faith, and they do not even contemplate attaining him with their wisdom, as do the sages of the nations.
Meaning that we attain, the meaning is that it's specifically above reason and not an intellect, as he says that it's possible to attain.
164. Who guides the sun? After all, it's only the Creator. Joshua came and silenced it. He commanded it to stand still, and it went silent. As it is written, so the sun stood still and the moon stopped. The Creator sentences, and so did Moses. He sentenced and it was executed. Moreover, the Creator makes verdicts, and in the righteous of Israel, revoke them. As it is written, a righteous rules the fear of God. Moreover, the Creator commanded them to go by his very ways, to resemble him in everything.
This is the answer, to be similar to him in everything. So by a person obeying, observing all the laws, he becomes like the system, which is called Elohim, to do that which he intends. As much as he's possible to do it, all of his actions become like the Creator, then he becomes like the Creator, and he does it for the sake of adhesion with the Creator. So the righteous, meaning somebody that comes with similarity of form with the Creator from adhesion, from Dvekut, he essentially, as if, just like the Creator, doesn't just attain, but acts like the Creator. Clear? Okay. So that same philosopher,
that philosopher went and converted in the village Shechalim. He was named Little Yossi. He learned much Torah, and he is among the wise and righteous in that place. Commentary. But we were you to say that they are diminishing the power of their whole faith because they are rewarded to truly being like him. Rather, they do it because he commanded them to do so, and to attain him by his actions. The Creator commanded them to go by his very ways, as it is written, and walk in his ways. They do the king's commandment to resemble him in everything. Indeed, the philosopher was so inspired by this truth that he went and converted and took upon him the burden of Torah and mitzvot.
Ken.
Rav, how can wisdom and faith, two such contradicted things, be in a dialogue between them?
Faith is the kli, and chokhmah, wisdom, is the fulfillment. I understand. What is faith to you that's contrary to wisdom?
Faith chooses a different way. It's not to discern according to results or intellect or against nature.
We receive within our will to receive fulfillment, and that fulfillment is called wisdom of this world. As much as I want to swallow, to receive, to perceive, that's what I perceive, and that is my organ of perception. One can also perceive in a different way. As much as I'm in bestowal, by being in bestowal, in faith, doesn't it mean that I perceive?
No.
No.
Yes?
How?
Yes.
So, perception through faith and wisdom, is that the same or not?
In faith, I don't know if it's towards reception, but it's a common incorporation attitude.
How is it different?
It's not my attitude. It's like we're accumulating a certain common desire, a certain new approach.
A new approach, meaning that in this world, the extent to which I swallow the source of force, energy, wisdom, I am with him in natural similarity of form. I need to develop my intellect and my feeling, and then I attain that thing. In the spiritual world, in order to attain something, I must be in the force of bestowal. But when I'm in the force of bestowal, I am also in similarity of form with the object of my attainment. The quality that I want to attain, its quality is bestowal, therefore I must be in bestowal. In our world, I need to be in reception, and I attain reception. That's it. But it's the same principle of perception. It's called similarity of form. And therefore, we think that the vessel of the spiritual world is me not wanting to get anything. By not wanting anything, I come closer to that quality, but by receiving, then I begin to receive, because my nature is entirely receiving. The more I rise above it, I open myself up for perception.
No. Lo mavan. Ken yura.
It's not clear. Yes, yura.
It's written here, interpretation, whether you will say that at last they are diminishing their complete and faith, because this brings them to their faith. Why, when they merit to be like the Creator, actually it needs to diminish the force of faith?
To diminish the force of faith, because now they have the force of reception and emunah. Faith is only binah, but now they're going to receive. The force of emunah and binah is not enough to receive. It's just the condition that I rise above my ego in chafetz chesed. Anybody else?
How can we today enter into such contact with the sages of the nations so that we will convert them? Where is that discussion that will cause them to invert?
You don't feel what's happening to you? That all the time you have that philosopher sitting inside of you, and all the time he's telling you how you're supposed to look at the world, and all the time he's telling you that his approach is right, and the approach of the Jews by attaining through unity is wrong.
And how today do we cause that philosopher to convert in our generation?
Why? But what do you want to do here? You want to invert your Kilim de Kabbalah to bestow. This is called converting.
And that means I need to love the sages to be a sage of the nations and then convert myself?
This is called being wise among the nations. What did you think? It was external? No. We're talking about one person. The Torah talks about only one person. Person himself. More? That's it? Yep.
Well, actually, the claim of the philosopher is that he doesn't understand what the greatness of the Creator is. Meaning, what is this sentence from the sages of the nations? And here, when he writes to him that they're doing it in order to be similar to him in every way, and then they're convincing him, what's the point here?
The matter is simple. How long are you studying Kabbalah?
8 years.
8 years? Wow. You can be a professor in something already. What is 8 years? And doctor, how long did you study medicine?
20 years?
20 years? No, just the medical part. 7 years.
6 years plus 1 year of internship.
Alright, you see, every profession, here you're studying 7 years, 8 years, you're asking. So what did you ask again?
Actually, I wanted to understand is, what's the claim of the inner philosopher, and what is the answer that causes him to believe?
How many times a day are you in conflict with the Creator in your vision of life? All the time. This philosopher sits in you, within, and constantly awakens you to look at the world with eyes of wisdom and feeling of reception and an approach of competition and so on and so forth. All the time. And all the time, you need to prove to him that this approach is wrong, because the whole world is built, was created in order for you to reveal the Creator and adhere to him. That's why you were created this way. So you need to battle with him all the time. But you forget, he's stronger than you. However, by causing him to be silent, for him to awaken only to show you how to come to the right states, up until him converting, as soon as you take upon this approach of for the sake of bestowal. This is the hero of heroes.
Okay. Roman from Germany is asking, what are the new intellect and feeling in the center of the ten?
What's that? Feeling and intellect in the center of the ten is when we begin to reveal that we have unity among us, a new unity, special in its character, in its magnitude, in its character, a special unity, that in this unity I feel not myself. I feel something that's somehow outside of myself. I have no words. It's just truly outside of myself. That's how it is. This is the new emotion. That from feeling something outside of myself, I also have my own sensation, my personal previous sensation. It doesn't disappear. Now I have a difference, a gap between these two states. The gap between these two states gives me an indication. An indication of the new state by which I begin to measure the Creator. Because when He is revealed, He's revealed in the difference between two states.
Oleg from Rognov and also Alexei from Peter has a similar question. What do we need to take from the Zohar before we sleep?
Before sleep?
Yes, after we've learned.
We need to try from the Zohar to receive the right impression that it envelops us. It embraces us. It brings us to correction, to the right place in and of himself. If we annul ourselves with respect to the Zohar, it does everything else. You don't need anything, just to be annulled and incorporated in it. That's how it is. That's why reading the Zohar, engaging in it in a way that I don't even understand, I just trust this source. That helps. It's an enormous strength, magnitude. There's no other book in the Wisdom of Kabbalah that even comes close. Although, you know, that there are things like, it's like legends, stories that you can kind of read, you know, even to children. But the amount of force that's hidden in this is just very enormous, very large. All right, so we still have 10 minutes. Where are you?
165. Now we should look at the text. It is written, all the nations are as nothing before him. What advantage is there here? And he answers, who will not fear you, O King of the nations? But is the King of the nations not the King of Israel? In all the places, the Creator wishes to be glorified in Israel. He is named only after Israel, as it is written, the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrews. And it is written, thus said the Lord, King of Israel. Indeed, the King of Israel. The nations of the world said, we have another protector in the heaven, for your king rules only over you. He does not rule over us. Now at that night, the queen is summoned to come to the chuppah, where Rabbi Shimon was, and now he wishes to adorn the bride with a decoration. He should re-examine that verse, "Who would not fear you, O King of the nations?" and interpret it in relation to the decoration of the bride. It repeats the beginning of the verse, as it was said, "Who would not fear you, O King of the nations?" What advantage is there here? After all, it is written, "All the nations are as nothing before him." So what is it telling us here? The nations of the world said, "We have another protector in the heaven." Because the nations pester Israel into saying that they have a good guide and protector in the heaven who gives them wisdom and power, and the king of Israel does not govern them. 166. It is written, "Who would not fear you, O King of the nations?" meaning a king who is superior to them to tyrannize them, to strike them, and to do with them as he wishes. For it is your due to fear you above and below, for among all the sages of the nations, the governors and ministers above, which are appointed over them, and in all their kingdoms, in that malchut above. There are four malchuts that govern here above. By the Creator's will, they govern over all the rest of the nations. For this reason, there is none amongst them who does even the slightest thing, except as he commanded them. As it is written, "And he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth."
Meaning that, of course, there are other gods that govern our egoistic desires, our qualities, our intellect and emotion, which are called the gods of the people, the nations, and the nations that are in us. So if we want to understand what the connection is between everything, then we need to discover how the Creator, through all the different gods, through the Klipot, through the gods of the nations, how he governs our own nations of the world and manages them in order for specifically through that way, through that alternative path, to manage us, to bring us to his revelation, to discover him through all of these signs of the nations of the world, these egoistic qualities of ours. This is what's important. Now, why do we need to approach it in such a long and confusing way that we don't understand who he is that governs us and how we need to behave, and to discover later that I've been in a battle with the Creator the whole time, that he's been clothed behind the clothing of all these forces? This is only for me to reveal him, because the advantage of the light is in the darkness. I need to feel that I'm under the reign of all the nations of the world and their gods, and then from there I'll be able to discover the force in contrast with them, the force of the Creator. The difference is that they're all together, will all point to his oneness. This is really the topic of the article. How do we attain, through all the forces of separation that we have, specifically the one upper force? Otherwise, we won't be able to attain it. We have no ability to approach it. Therefore, we have philosophers and sages and those that confuse us, those that truly do everything against us, and there will be great wars against the wisdom of Kabbalah in terrible ways, much worse than there were during the First Temple and the Second Temple, as we read. And all of that in order to reveal the oneness of the Creator. Because on every detail, we have a governor, a ruler. On every egoistic desire, we have a ruler who is no smaller than the Creator. And all in all, they are the rulers, and it's as if they are greater than this upper force, the Creator that bestows, until we discover that only unity is what we have here, and the Creator that makes them unique, that He is one, and they are many. Specifically, because He's one, then He is the ruler. Just like now, we see that the biggest principle that we have in reality is that this reality is integral and it's one. So gradually, we come to solve this problem. Okay? Yes, Oren.
So with what intention are we going to sleep?
With the intention to adhere to one, that all of this is the Creator twisting us, turning us, and forcing us to go to sleep, and with Him rise tomorrow morning. Ine matov umanaim shevetachim gam yachad. Ine matov shevetachim gam yachad. Ine matov shevetachim gam yachad. Manaim shevetachim gam yachad. Ine matov manai shevetachim gam yachad. Ine matov shevetachim gam yachad. Ine matov shevetachim gam yachad.